Diabetes Revolution podcast with Dr. Sarah Townley, the type 2 diabetes coach, clinical pharmacist, and mom of six angels. You don't have to struggle and fight with your blood sugars for the rest of your life. I'm here to teach you the skills you need to control and even reverse this disease. There is such a thing as getting off your meds and creating a future free from diabetes. And you can have it too. Let's get down to business. Well, hello, my friends. I have missed you. I'm so glad we're back together today. I have to tell you, I have two areas in my life that I have the biggest personal growth. One's in my business, and the other one is in my parenting. And I have to say, the parenting has really been kicking my butt lately. I mean, my oldest is 13 and he's doing awesome right now. But like all those other ones, I have six kids, you guys. So especially the baby, she is not even two and she's really hit this stage that she shouldn't even be in yet of just making a lot of commotion. I went toe-to-toe with her the other night over pulling the little kid's chair up to the island and climbing up there and doing whatever she wants, you know, the things that we put up there that we don't want her to touch. She knows they're up there. So I was standing in between her holding the chair and the island, and she was not backing down, you guys. She kind of runs the show up in here, and it's time for me to have a little bit of a power struggle here. And it's really painful. I just have to say, I don't like it, but it's absolutely necessary. The other day we showed her that she has to pick up all the goldfish she dumped onto the floor, you know? Like, she has to do it, and she didn't want to do it. And it's just really sad when you have to teach your kids that they have to do things they don't want to do. Anyhow, that is where I've been in the last couple weeks. And today, I'm just going to hang out with you guys for a little bit. I'm going to make a couple podcasts. And today, I want to talk to you about exercise. So I distinctly remember getting on the phone with a client, a potential client, right? Because when you want to work with me or you're interested in it, I let you have a free 1 hour conversation with me where we just really talk about what's going on for you. It might be the first time anybody's actually ever listened to you and listened to what you want. That's not often going on in the doctor's office in those, you know, 15, 20 minute appointments. And so I spend that time with you. And this person I was visiting with was telling me, man, if I just got my 20,000 steps in or whatever it was, that I could just handle this problem. And I realized in that moment that there was a big disconnect for that person. And I thought about how I needed to teach this to the masses, right? Because if it's a problem for one person, it's probably a problem for lots of people out there. And the misconception this person was having was that all he really needed to do was exercise in order to reverse his type 2 diabetes. And that's wrong. And I'm going to teach you today about why that's wrong. It doesn't mean I don't value exercise and I don't promote it. I don't encourage it. I absolutely want you to exercise if you want to exercise, but I don't want you to believe or keep believing that it's because you don't exercise that you can't reverse your type 2 diabetes or get healthy. Exercise has enormous benefits, both mental, physical benefits, and I don't even need to get into all of those benefits because most of us are well aware that exercising is good for us, right? However, it is misguided to believe that the reason why you haven't reversed your type 2 diabetes or lost all the weight is because you're not exercising enough. And for some of you, this is really good news. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my own story, but first I want to just lay it out there. Like, why is a lack of exercise not the problem when it comes to developing type 2 diabetes, and why is exercising not the solution to reversing type 2 diabetes? Okay, so, and I like to talk about, you know, obesity and type 2 diabetes together in this situation, because these examples and this way of teaching applies to both problems. And remember that the reason why weight gain or excess body weight and type 2 diabetes are often happening at the same time for a person is because they have the same root cause. Obesity does not cause type 2 diabetes. They have the same root cause, which is too much insulin, high levels of insulin over long periods of time. So both obesity and type 2 diabetes are caused by diet, both what you eat and when you eat. This is what drives high levels of insulin, which is what is the signal to the body to gain weight and store energy, and it is ultimately what causes insulin resistance. So I will use the metaphor Dr. Jason Fung applies here because it's simple and it's useful. So Dr. Fung wrote the obesity code and the diabetes code. And if I haven't told you yet, if you're interested in reversing type 2 diabetes, the most important piece of literature for you to read is Dr. Jason Fung's The Diabetes Code. Okay. It will change your life. You will never regret it, and you probably will read it more than once. But he likes to use the metaphor of a bathtub when he talks about what happens in your organs when you eat too much sugar and starch. So overconsumption of sugar and starch are like a bathtub faucet turned on full blast. Okay, so imagine a bathtub, it's already full of water, and you have the bathtub faucet on full blast. What's coming out is sugar and starch. That's what's happening, that's filling up the tub. Okay, so the energy expenditure, the energy that you're burning for fuel, is like the bathtub drain. Okay, and widening the drain of the bathtub would be like exercising, right? You're going to burn more fuel, and so you're going to drain more out of the bathtub. Though you're allowing more water out, the tub is still overfilling. Why? Because you're eating more sugar and starch than you can burn for fuel. Okay. And even if you exercise, most of us are not going to be able to outrun the amount of storage that we've already put in our body and the amount that we're still taking in through our diet every day, right? Most of you know this. Like if you've run on a treadmill or done anything like on a machine in a gym that counts your calories, you probably have been quite discouraged that you exercised or used that machine for like an hour and it burned off like one Snicker bar. Okay, so what's the solution in this metaphor, right? With this full blast faucet on and a drain that's not keeping up and a tub of water that is overflowing. Well, the solution is to turn off the faucet, right? And to let the bathtub drain. This means slowing or stopping the intake of refined carbohydrates that are, you know, sugar and starch. Sounds simple, right? Easy? Not for everybody. So let's get into more details in the case that you like to know the answer to why, you like the details like me, and you want more of an explanation. Okay, so exercise improves insulin sensitivity, but not where it matters the most. So when you exercise, your energy needs go up, right? Think about it. You're contracting muscles, and a lot of them, if you're like, you know, using your legs especially, you're using these giant muscles, and your muscles are the largest sink for glucose in the body. That means that they take up or use up more glucose than almost anything else in your body. Your brain and your muscles are the two biggest glucose utilizers in your body. So if your muscles are burning more fuel because you are moving your body, they're contracting and they're using more glucose out of the bloodstream. And here is a really fun fact. When your muscles are contracting, They do not need insulin to access glucose. It's kind of a hack. This is really good to know, especially when you're wanting to use your exercise strategically. So if you are insulin resistant, right, your muscles don't respond to insulin properly, which means that the glucose is having a hard time getting into the muscle cell to be burned for fuel, and it's staying stuck in the bloodstream, which is showing up as a high blood sugar reading. If you know that contracting those muscles bypasses that, it's like a way to get out of that, like a get out of jail free situation. Like you can get to that glucose and soak it up into your muscles even when you're insulin resistant if you are contracting your muscles. So this means it makes a lot of sense when your blood sugar is high, for example, and you want to bring it down. Or if you just ate a meal or you just ate something that you know is going to bring your blood sugars up, this makes a lot of sense to reach for this tool. Right? You can go for a walk or you can do some exercise after your meal or when your blood sugar is high to help you bring your blood sugar down, because your muscles are going to soak up all that extra glucose in the bloodstream without the use of insulin. Okay, now, what about when you're not exercising? So after an episode of exercise, like intense exercise, let's say moderately intense exercise, the glucose uptake by the cells improves by at least 40%. Okay, that's after you're done exercising. Your muscle cells are still soaking up that sugar. And this lasts for about 48 to 72 hours. The impact of a single episode of exercise on insulin sensitivity doesn't persist beyond 4 to 5 days, but you're going to see it impacting your overall blood sugar control over the following 2 to 3 days. That's important to know. That's really, really helpful to know, right? Now, even though this is good to know, exercise has little to no impact on insulin resistance in the liver, okay? The liver is the primary driver of type 2 diabetes. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I really recommend you go back and listen to one of the earliest podcast episodes in this show. And it's called What is Happening in My Body? Okay, it's going to explain to you how the process of type 2 diabetes develops in the body. But real quick, I'm going to explain to you what I mean when I say that exercise does not have a major impact on insulin resistance in the liver, which is the first place that we develop insulin resistance on the way to developing type 2 diabetes. So the liver is responsible for processing carbohydrates, right? Those are like starches from potatoes and rice and bread, and sugar, you know, fruit sugar and refined sugars. And so the liver is going to have the job of taking all of that food in the form of carbohydrate, all the different kinds of carbohydrates that we eat, and converting it into glucose, which is the currency of fuel in the body, right? When you check your blood sugar, you get a glucose reading, a blood glucose reading. And so the way we eat carbs is usually not in the form of glucose. The liver has to process it and turn it into glucose. So it breaks down and converts carbohydrates from all sources into glucose, which then becomes available in your bloodstream as energy for the rest of your body, especially your brain. It also stores extra glucose as glycogen or fat, okay, through a process called de novo lipogenesis. When we make fat and we store fat on our bodies, the liver is making fat out of the food that we eat, and a lot of it is coming from excess carbohydrates. And that process is called de novo lipogenesis. Now, when we eat too much carbohydrate, like say we drink, you know, a Mountain Dew, and then we had a couple slices of pizza, and then later on we had some, you know, chocolate, or we had some ice cream. So that's a lot of refined carbs, right? And the liver is going to feel overwhelmed by all of that sugar and all that flour that's coming in. And so we're going to accelerate the conversion of all of that extra energy into fat because our bodies are so smart. They want to save any extra for later when you might have a famine, right? And so we see this, you know, acceleration of de novo lipogenesis, and we make this we make excessive amounts of fat in the form of triglycerides. Okay, and so many of you are like, what? Because someone told you that your triglycerides are high and you need to stop eating fat. And that's not helpful because the reason why many of you have high triglycerides is because you're eating too much sugar and you're eating too much starch and your body's trying to convert that into fat. And the first step is to make triglycerides. So those triglycerides then get stored, okay, as body fat. And what's unfortunate is when you have a lot of this going on and your liver is very overwhelmed, it is accumulating in your liver. The liver is not a safe place to store fat, and it's going to interfere with the function of the liver, which often leads to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Fatty liver is a leading cause in the United States for cirrhosis and is strongly correlated with type 2 diabetes and obesity. So insulin resistance in the liver results from liver cells simply being packed to max capacity with glucose, glycogen, and fat. And the only way to reverse this process is by allowing the liver, you know, that bathtub, to empty out the glucose and the storage. We have to drain the bathtub. This is accomplished by decreasing the consumption of refined carbohydrates, especially, right? And maybe even complex carbohydrates. And this is just going to allow your liver to have a break and have the opportunity to let go of so much stores. And since we can't exercise our liver, exercise doesn't directly affect insulin resistance in the liver. So I hope that that explains to you why exercise alone does not reverse type 2 diabetes. Now, if exercise means more calories out, then why don't we see like weight loss? And then maybe because we're losing weight and we're burning more fat, we can empty out the liver that way. Well, I'll just tell you, over and over, exercise has failed to show in clinical studies that it is an effective weight loss strategy, even in the short term, guys, let alone the long term. You know, studies that have been published over and over do provide some insights into why we don't lose weight when we exercise more. And the truth is, increasing exercise leads to a number of things that's, you know, prevent us from being able to lose the weight. For example, a lot of us see some appetite stimulation and a corresponding increase in our food intake, right? On top of that, exercisers often will justify increasing their food intake. The result is no weight loss and sometimes weight gain. So let's like make this really practical in a way that you can relate to. Have you ever experienced starting a new exercise program, right? Maybe it was like, I don't know, Zumba or like some kind of Beachbody program. I love the 21 Day Fix. That's like my favorite. I do those workouts all the time. I saw Sean T up in there doing some really cool dance workouts, whatever your favorite thing is. Okay, let's just say you got pumped up to start a new exercise program in the past, and all that mind chatter around food that seemed to crop up and around that new exercise program. Like, I even can think of right now when I'm stretching after one of my 21 Day Fix workouts, she mentions fueling after your exercise and fueling your body before your exercise, right? Thinking, it's important that you eat more in order to fuel your workouts. And they're oftentimes selling you products, right? Like Shakeology. Beachbody likes to sell Shakeology. Or maybe, you know, you decide that eating an extra apple or a banana or granola bar is deserved because you worked out really hard. This information I unfortunately learned from a personal experience, guys. So I, you know, maybe like 5 years ago now, I was invited by a friend to run a trail race in the Bighorn Mountains. And you may have heard me tell this story before, but at 18 miles, it was the longest race that I would have ever ran at that time. Okay. And with all the running, I expected to lose some weight, right? Seems reasonable. Well, I was disappointed. I never lost a single pound training all those months. In fact, after that first race, I was determined to figure out how to lose the extra 10 pounds, so I finally focused on my diet. And that is absolutely what it was going to take, and it worked really quickly to lose that extra 10 pounds. So many, many diabetics I talk to are convinced that if they would just exercise more, their blood sugars would normalize. And some of them are already putting in a great deal of effort. And of course, I don't discourage exercise, but I don't want them or you to continue thinking that this is the missing piece, that this is where you are going wrong and where you need to focus all of your attention. Focusing on tracking 20,000 steps a day or training for a 5K alone, doing those things alone, will not get you off your diabetes medications. It will not reverse your type 2 diabetes. And for those of you who are not exercising regularly, this could be good news. It could be good or bad. It could be good if you're a person who's been beating yourself up for not exercising. Or it could be bad if you believed that all you really needed to do was just exercise and your problem would go away. Facing your food, guys, that's the hardest part. If it were easy, everybody would reverse their diabetes, right? And lose all that weight. So it's not easy, but it's totally possible. And I want you to never stop believing that. And that is what I do as a coach. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's about inspiring you and empowering you with the tools that you need. So the last question that often comes up after I talk about this with people is, well, why should I do any exercise? And if I'm going to do some, like, what kind of exercise is the best kind to do? So exercise is a tool. It's another environmental or lifestyle factor that influences your disease, right? Like we talked about, your insulin resistance. It influences your mental health, especially like as a stress reliever. And if stress is a big driver in your insulin resistance, it could definitely be useful for you. And overall, exercise is important for our well-being. Like, we are designed to move our bodies, right? We are not designed to sit and lay down all day long. And so exercise is just, again, coming back to living in our bodies the way that they're designed to function. And that, exercise is just another tool that's in your control. And so it can be very empowering for people to have it and use it as a tool. It does improve insulin sensitivity and it builds muscle so that you can continue to burn more glucose even at rest. So I love to think of using this strategically, right? What if you know your blood sugar's up, or you just ate a meal that had some extra carbs in it and you know your blood sugar is going to be high? Like, you can strategically incorporate some exercise to get you back down or to offset what you ate. And so a lot of people then will ask me, well, which one's better? Should I do aerobic exercise, like running or walking or swimming or biking or what, whatever you like to do that gets your heart rate up and has you consuming more oxygen? That's aerobic. Or should I do anaerobic exercise, which is usually not cardiorespiratory, a big demand on your cardiorespiratory system, but more of like a muscle, lifting or a weightlifting type of exercise. So which one's better? So the best exercise, hands down, is the one you're going to do. The one you don't have to force yourself to do, right? Like, you don't have to talk yourself into it or beat yourself into it, because we're going for sustainability here, right? We need to do the things that feel good to us. And so I want you to think of an activity or a way that you can move your body that feels natural to you, feels compelling to you, something that's going to draw you to it. And for some of you, it could be something like gardening, right? Or lawn care. That can be very physically demanding. Maybe some of you just like to go hiking with your dog. Maybe some of you just want to hula hoop. I don't know. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't need to be really intense exercise. It just needs to get you moving your body and doing something that in the end game is going to become part of your lifestyle. And in the end game is going to lead to you building muscle and at least retaining the muscle that you already have. So how intense does it need to be? Well, I like to tell you, just make it a little uncomfortable. Why? Because we only get stronger when we stress the body, right? Resistance stimulates growth. And I'm a fan of anything that's going to build muscle because two reasons. One, you're going to have more muscle mass when you build muscle, and that is a good return on investment for your time, right? Because when you have more muscle, you have a bigger sink, you have a bigger sponge that's going to soak up glucose all the time, even at rest, right? And then the second reason is because muscle attrition is a natural process as most of us age. We're going to lose muscle mass as we age. And I'm sure every one of you wants to maintain your independence as you age, wants to be able to get in and out of the bathtub, drive cars, go grocery shopping, do all of your self-care and your home care. All of us want to be able to live independently and have the strength to do that. And if you make keeping your muscle mass as part of your long-term game plan, then you're going to choose and reach for exercise that builds muscle. And so what does that mean? Does it mean weightlifting? Only if you want it to, right? There's nothing wrong with, you know, taking 5-pound weights if you want on a walk or doing anything that's going to put some more weight on your muscles. But you can use your own body weight. And I'm talking about squats, planks, lunges, right? Sit-ups. You can do things without any equipment and literally within a 6x4 space in your house. Like, you don't need to join a gym. You don't need to buy anything in order to do this exercise. And that, to me, is so empowering. Like, if I can just walk outside and face the sun and do some jump squats and do like 30 lunges and then, you know, walk or run a short distance and come back and repeat that as many times as I need to get my muscles a little bit sore, like, that is building muscle. That is available to you at all times of the day. That is available to you without spending any money. And so to me, that makes it simple. It makes it doable. It makes it just low threshold for resistance in my mind. Okay. And then the last thing I want to say to you is be smart. Exercise is powerful at bringing your blood sugar down, right? And so you don't want to be caught off guard and have a low blood sugar, especially if you're on medications that reduce your blood sugar, like insulin or secretagogues like glimepiride and glipizide. These kinds of medications already have a risk of a low blood sugar, and exercise can potentiate that, right? Can send you low. And so if you're not thinking and planning, you could get caught with a low blood sugar, and that's dangerous, right? And I'm just kind of, I'm a student of my body, so I encourage you to get as much information from your body as possible about what it does and doesn't like anyway. And so I encourage you to check your blood sugars before you exercise and after you exercise to see what happened. Hey, you know, did this work? Did it not work? How much did it work? And then also, I will warn you that intense exercise can actually bring your blood sugar up for a short period of time. So don't get weirded out by that. That's totally normal. It's a stress response and it will resolve quickly. And it doesn't mean that the exercise you chose to do is a problem. Okay. All right. So that is what I have for you about exercise. I hope that you found that information practical and useful and empowering, because that's what my goal is for you on this podcast. Now, if you don't know how to get yourself to go do the exercise, Okay. If you're a person who doesn't know how to stop ordering the food at the restaurant or at the drink at the coffee shop that makes your blood sugar spike. If you're the person who can't figure out how to say no thanks to the cookie as an option at Subway, okay, then you're totally normal. I want to just tell you right now that you are not alone. 99% of the people that are listening to this podcast have a really hard time consistently changing the way that they move their body and the way their relationship with food, the way that they eat, okay? And so that is why I do this work. That's what a coach is for. That's why you need to hire a coach. But anyhow, you need to create some structure and some accountability for yourself while you learn how to change permanently. I teach you all the mind hacks in my coaching style to creating literally a way of making different decisions with your food, right? And then you rewire how you're doing that. And over time, it becomes your norm. It becomes your automatic so that it's easy for you to do things differently than you used to do when you used to have this problem of type 2 diabetes. If that sounds appealing to you and you want to give yourself the support in order to solve this problem for the last time, then I want to invite you to go to my website and apply to work with me. And in that application, you just fill out a short bit of information about yourself that comes directly to me. And then I will reach out to you to schedule that free 1-hour conversation where I get to know you. I get to hear what's going on for you and find out if I can help you. And if you're a good fit, we will talk about what that looks like to work together. All right. I hope that you are having a beautiful day. I am excited because the sun is out and we have now reached daylight savings time, which is such a huge landmark for me because I have a love affair with the sun. And I want to have the sun on my skin, and I love to see the sun shining through my windows. All right, I will see you next week. High five for tuning in with me today. You are getting smarter and stronger when you show up for yourself this way. You can get more free tools to help you control type 2 diabetes on my website, sarahtownley.com. And if you're serious about ending your struggle with diabetes, join my membership, The Diabetes Revolution, where you work with me in a community of people just like you. See you on the next episode.